In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Hello and welcome to this edition of Horizon Magazine. On the 15th of Rabiul Awal, which coincides with the fourth day of the Shia Sunni Unity Week. I'm your host, Vida Montahab, and on behalf of the whole team of this show, I would like to extend my heartiest congratulations on the auspicious birth anniversary of the great messenger of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. As usual, please call us at the numbers you see on your screen during the show and let us know of the ceremonies held in your country in the Islamic Unity Week. Now, let's listen to the prayer of the day. Please accompany us in these spiritual moments.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful.
O Pardoner, O Allah, O the One who joins the broken hearts and the bones. In fact, such power is possessed only by you, and the joining and gathering by the creations is but due to your attribute of imposing your will.
Amen. The Islamic Unity Week is marked from the 12th to 17th of Rabiul Awal on the occasion of the birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. According to Sunni Islamic narrations, the 12th of Rabiul Awal is recognized as the birthday of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. On the other hand, according to the Islamic sources relied upon by Shia Muslims and based on the narrations from the Ahlul Bayt, the auspicious birthday of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was on the 17th of Rabiul Awal. This five-day span has been breached as the Unity Week thanks to the dynamic initiative taken 34 years ago by the founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, to promote Islamic solidarity on the national and international level. In accordance with God's command in verse 103 of Surah Al-Imran, hold fast all together to Allah's cord and do not be divided. The Unity Week is marked all over the world and has played an important role in bringing the various Islamic schools of thought on a single platform. Muslims believe in one God, one holy book, and bow towards the same focal point, that is the Holy Kaaba, five times a day during daily prayers. Now it's time to take a short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to this segment of Horizon Magazine. Now on the line we have the pleasure to join by Ayatollah Mahdi Hadavi Tehrani. Ayatollah Tehrani, hello to you and welcome to our program.
Good night, and I should say hello to all the audience of your program.
Thank you. Ayatollah Tehrani, you know that we are in the Unity Week between Shia and the Sunni people. And my first question that I want to pose to you is that what is the necessity of proximity between the Shiites and Sunnis when the enemies of Islam have launched soft wars against Muslims and try to intensify religious differences?
Before anything, I would like to congratulate the days of the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the Prophet which has brought for us the last divine guidance of Allah, which is for all times and for all people throughout the world, not for a piece of land and not for a period of time. And of course, this religion has the capability to be implemented in different situations and different circumstances, and we should understand different aspects of this religion to be able to implement it in different fields such as economy, policy, education and different fields. And of course, one of the important notions which has been introduced by this religion is the notion of unity among the Muslims. This is a pivotal notion among the Islamic concepts, and Islam has emphasized on this point that all different groups of Muslims, they should be united with each other around the main concepts and main values of Islam. And we all believe in Allah, in God, as the unique creator for all the creatures. We all believe in Quran as the last divine book which has come to guide us. We all believe in the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as the last divine prophet which has come to guide us. These common points are common points among all the Muslims. And of course, there are differences in such, in some of the fields, such as some details of the fiqh issues, but even in the field of fiqh, we are common in most, in more than 90% of the issues, we are common, and it is something similar in different sects among the Muslims in these fields, such as Tahara, Salah, and different books of the fiqh. We can find so many common points, as I said, more than 90%. And based on these ideas, based on these notions, and based on these concepts, there are roots of unity in the Islamic concepts and in the Islamic values. And these roots invite us to reach to a real unity among the Muslims. And of course, if we refer to the history of Islam, we will find that whenever the Muslims, they were united with each other, they were successful in different fields, and they were able to gain the global share of the Muslim world in the global issues. But whenever they were differentiated and there were differences among them or conflicts among them, they were not so powerful enough to reach to this successful point. And there were the problems among them, and of course the enemies were powerful when they were differentiated, I mean when the Muslims were differentiated. And of course always throughout the history, the enemies, they were trying to differentiate the Muslims and to make the differences so much important for the Muslims that they neglect the common points among themselves. And they neglect the common enemy against Islam, and they began to conflict inside themselves against, instead of being against the enemies that they want to reach to the power, and they want to conquer the Muslims, and they want to reach to the power against Muslims.
Thank you so much. You mentioned commonalities between Muslims from different sects, and based on these commonalities these commonalities that we believe in them, how could unity bring Muslims from all over the world closer to each other and help them to achieve the ideals of a Muslim society?
When we accept the common points and when we pay special attention to the commonalities among the Muslims, then we will be able to build a concrete structure for the unity of the Muslims based on the common points. We can begin from the main concepts such as the unity of God, such as the Quran, such as the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and from these main points and main roots, we can reach to the other branches in different fields of Islam, and then we will be able to reach to this point that there are so many common points among us. And the differences among the different sects, it is something natural. Even inside one sect, such as Shia, we have different ideas in different issues. For example, we have different fatwas about some special fiqh issues. And it doesn't mean that there is a conflict among the different Islamic or different Shia scholars. They are different in their opinions or in their ideas, but it doesn't mean that they are against each other. And even these differences can help us to reach to a complete idea or a complete image of different issues, because we can look at the at a special issue from different aspects when there are differences among us. And therefore, the different sects, they can reach to a common structure, to a common capabilities of the Islam based on a very capable and practical structure which is well rooted in the Islamic notions and concepts. And of course, for this, this responsibility is, for first of all, for the Islamic scholars. They should gather with each other. They should discuss different issues among themselves, first of all, and they should try to explain the common points among themselves, first of all, and then to explain it for the common sense, for the different people in different fields, in different levels, and then we will be able to reach to a real unity among the Muslims. And this real unity will have its fruits. When we reach to this real unity, we will be able to witness the success of Islam in different fields. We will be able, that Muslims, they are able to reach to their global share in different international affairs and international issues.
Thank you so much. It's very true. As you mentioned, Muslims from different sects could be united despite their trivial differences. Now, Ayatollah Tehrani, my third question is that what could harm unity among Muslims?
You know, of course, there are some differences inside the Islamic community, I can say, or the Islamic Ummah. And this is something natural, as I said, it is something natural. If these differences, which is something natural, even inside one sect, we have some differences, if these differences is the source of a kind of conflict among
yes,
the
sects,
if it is the source of a kind of problems or crisis among the sects, then it will harm the unity. It will be harmful for the Muslim Ummah. The differences is something natural, but if it doesn't mean that it should breed contempt among them, because differences, as I said, can help us to be able to look at one thing from different aspects. On the other hand, the enemies of Islam, they are trying to emphasize on these differences among the sects, and they are trying to highlight some of these issues and to make some kind of conflict inside the Islamic Ummah, because they know whenever the Muslims are united, they are not able to reach to their goals, and whenever they are differentiated, they are able to reach to their goals, and therefore they have reached to this point that the only way that they can control the Muslim Ummah, the Islamic Ummah, is to differentiate them. They have reached to this point that whenever they attack the Muslims, they will be united with each other against the enemies. And therefore, they are trying to make the conflict inside the Islamic Ummah, inside the Islamic community, not against them from outside, because they know an enemy from out of this society, from out of this community, whenever they attack, they will be united. And therefore, they are trying to make problems inside the Muslim Ummah, and they are trying to make them against each other, to talk against each other, to write against each other, and even to do something against each other. If we can discuss the issues in different fields in detail, we will reach that there are the finger points of the Muslim enemies in different attacks against the Muslim inside the Islamic Ummah. If there are, for example, some terroristic activities in some of the countries, such as Iraq, such as Pakistan, such as Afghanistan, or such as Syria, we will find find that there are the enemies of Islam, that they are trying to make this conflict inside the Islamic Ummah, and they are trying not to let the Muslims to reach to the unity, because they know that the unity is the power of the Islam. They know that the unity is the source of the success of the Muslims, and they know that the unity is harmful for them, and therefore they are against the unity, and they are trying to make different problems inside the Islamic Ummah.
Ayatollah Tehrani, thank you so much for your wonderful remarks and appearing on this show.
Thank you very much, and
I hope
the Muslims throughout the world during this period of time, they can find the chance to think about the Islam from different aspects and to understand that the unity is the source of the power of Muslims, and inshallah, we will witness this unity in the real life in the near future, inshallah.
Thank you so much. Hope to see you again on this program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Now we are going back very soon after a short break. Please stay with us. Welcome back to this segment of program coming to you live from Tehran. Now on the line we have Mr. Sayed Nasser Saidi, the webmaster of Institute of Quran and Nahjul Balagha. Mr. Saidi, hello to you and welcome to our show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm Saidi, webmaster of the Institute of Quran and Nahjul Balagha, and thanks you for giving time to me to express the activities and actions of our institute to all the brothers and sisters around the world. I'm at your service.
Thank you. I have the same wishes for you, and it's very nice to have you on this program.
Thank you.
And first of all, would you please introduce your institute and tell us about its background?
Yeah. Of course, if you let me, at the beginning, I would like to express my deepest and sincere congratulations on the birthday of the Holy Prophet and also Imam Jafar Sadeh, and honoring the Week of Unity to all dear Muslim brothers and sisters all over the world. Yeah.
Thank you.
The Institute of Quran and Natural Balagha was established 15 years ago, and following the order of the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei to train 10 million memorizers of the Holy Quran, and continuing its previous efforts in disseminating the Holy Quran and its Holy teachings, the website was launched 7 years ago to deliver its facilities to all Muslims around the world. The goal and objectives of the Institute is, as mentioned, was training the memorizers of the Holy Quran to all people inside Iran and also those living in other countries who can take advantage from the internet and distance learning facilities. The Institute has also worked on other fields, other Holy books like Nahjul Balagha and Sayfi Sajjadiyya, and those two Holy books, as mentioned, Nahjul Balagha, which is called as Ahul Quran, or the brother of the Holy Quran, and also Sayfi Sajjadiyya, which is called as Ukhtul Quran, or the sister of the Quran. So far, the Institute has been successful in training tens and or even hundreds of memorizers of the Holy Quran all over the country, and recently the Institute has turned to train and attract those who are interested in memorizing the Holy Quran from other countries. I don't know if it's enough or not.
Okay, thank you. And also, you have one section under the category of competitions. You organize some competitions. Would you please, explain these competitions?
Yeah. I will explain about. But I don't know. Shall I explain about the different parts of our website or not? Before explaining about the competitions held by the Institute or not? Do you need me to explain about different parts of our website or not?
Yes, but firstly, please, introduce the part under the category of competitions.
Yeah.
How do you organize competitions, and what kinds of competitions do you have?
The Institute, one of the successful activities of the Institute was launching the competitions in memorizing the Holy Quran, and I mentioned two other books called Nahjul Balagha and Sayfi Sajjadiyya. We have an interval time for holding this competition around. Of course, the competition so far has been held inside Iran, and for the next year, I would like to announce from your program that from the next year we'll have another competition called Enlightening Path for those who are living outside Iran. The competitions are regarding Quran, Nahjul Balagha, in two different parts. Those who are interested in attending in these competitions can enroll through website or can come directly to the Institute to, as I mentioned, enroll themselves. After enrolling, some books will be presented to them to memorize and to have review. On a determined time, the people will gather somewhere in Qom, like the Holy Shrine of Hazrat Masuma or other big buildings, and the competitions are held over there.
Thank you so much, Mr. Saidi, because we are running out of time. I have to stop you here, but it's very good news that
Would you let me just 1 minute to add some more points, just in one
very
minute.
Very briefly, please.
Hereby, I would like to express our eagerness to receive the criticisms and also suggestions from all people who are interested to help us in honoring the Holy Quran or in disseminating the Holy Quran and other holy books. We also are ready to deliver or exchange our experiences with other institutes and organizations inside the Holy Quran or even outside Iran. We are also ready to take part with other institutes who are ready to hold these competitions with each other. And also another point is that recently, I think 10 days ago, a National Conference of Natural Panaga was held in Qom, and different, of course, Persian articles were presented to the institute. And from the next year, this conference, which is very important and will attract
thank you so much, Mr. Saidi. Believe you me,
level.
We are running thank out you. Of time.
Thank you very much.
Thank
for
you so
us
much
time.
For your appearance on this show and the good news that you shared with
yeah,
us.
Yeah. I want to thank you for giving us the time.
Thank you. And now it's time to shift our attention to our today's report. Please take a look.
Imam Khomeini, who was born in the central province of Iran called Khomein, a city, and his father and ancestors were all landlords and landowners, and also they were religious people, famous people. And Imam Khomeini started his political and scientific and mystic movements from the year when the king of Iran, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, stated his white revolution, which was under the influence of CIA and FBI and intelligence service and also Mossad, and which was imposed on the Iranian nations. Imam Khomeini started to oppose the king. At first, he declared that your activities, your actions, your functions are not for the benefit of Iran and will not lead in the Iranian people's freedom and human dignity. But he was exiled at first to Turkey for about 1 year, and then they sent him to Iraq when Saddam Hussein was the vice president of Iraq. And he was over there for several years, and he was teaching in the theological center of Najaf, the sacred city of Shiites and Muslims. And from there, he contacted with his followers. He had full communication by writing letters, sending messages, or visiting the people who were greatly interested in visiting him and asking for the best way to follow in order to reach freedom and to reach human dignity and Islamic dignity in the country where all the people are religious people. And it is not secular, it is not laic. So in such a country, unfortunately, the king was trying to create a laic and a secular country from the deeply rooted in the religion people who loved the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his household, and the people who sacrificed themselves and were ready to sacrifice themselves for such a sacred dynasty and such a sacred household. So Imam Khomeini started awakening the people from villages to towns, from towns to cities, from cities to cosmopolitan cities like Tehran, Tabriz, Shiraz, Mashhad, and all cities. So the people became aware of what was going on behind the curtain by the king and by the other advisors of Western governments, some of Western governments. So in 1979, Iranian revolution over-dominated and took victory over Shah, and Shah escaped from Iran and went to America. From America, he went to Panama City, and from Panama City, he returned to Cairo in order to complete his treatment for the cancer which was making him weaker and weaker day by day. And finally he died over there, unknown, and somebody who was under the hatred of an innocent nation.
Welcome back. It's good to have you with us. In the Holy Quran, Surah 4, verse 59, we read, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those of you who are in authority. If you differ in anything amongst yourselves, refer it to Allah and His Messenger if you believe in Allah and in the last day. That is better and more suitable for final determination. Also in Surah Al-Imran, verse 102, we read, O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared and die not except in a state of Islam. These verses clearly ordain that instead of adhering to Sunnism or Shiism, we should strongly adhere to Islam. In the last sermon from the Mount of Arafat, the Holy Prophet had clearly announced that no Arab has any superiority over a non-Arab or the white over the black. This is the reason that in Muslim countries we do not find racial discriminations. Islam gives clear injunctions for the respect, safety, security, and prosperity for the non-Muslims as well. Now it's time to take a short break. Please don't go away. There is much more to come.
Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad. يا رسول الله يا نبي الله يا حبيب الله يا أمين الله
You are watching Horizon Magazine with me, Vida Montahab. Islam lays great stress on the importance of unity. The Islamic concept of Tawhid is the other name of the unity of humankind. The cornerstone in Islam is the unity of God. Allah's unity teaches us the message that we should not divide humans into sections and sects. The Almighty Allah in the Holy Quran says that the division of people in the races and clans is only for their introduction. The best one out of them is the man of piety. As stated by the late Imam Khomeini, one of the most important tactics of enemies of Islam is sowing discord among Muslim brothers. Muslims should be awake. Muslims should be alert that if a dispute takes place among Sunni and Shia brothers, it is harmful to all of us. It is harmful to all Muslims. Those who want to sow discord are neither Sunni nor Shia. They are agents of the superpowers and work for them. Shia and Sunni brothers should avoid every kind of dispute. Today, discord among us will only benefit the enemies. They neither want Shia nor Sunni to exist and know the way to sow dispute between you and us. We must pay attention that we are all Muslims and we all believe in the Quran. We all believe in Tawhid and must work to serve the Quran and Tawhid. The importance of unity in the world of Islam has also been repeatedly underlined by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Now, that's all the time we have for this edition of Horizon Magazine. Till next time, goodbye and have a great time.